Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in to the Motor Racing Network and NASCAR Coast to Coast. We break down all things NASCAR regional. As always, I'm your host with the most, Chris Wilner, MRN pit reporter. Kyle Rickey, my partner in crime, announcer for MRN out in Connecticut. K Rick, this is a special day. Not only do we have a special guest this week, who I've been wanting to talk to for quite some time, it's my birthday. So will you be nice to me this week? Maybe just a little bit.
A little bit. We'll see. But happy birthday. Thank you. To my host with the most.
That's right. Well, I try to have the most. We'll see. No promises, though. But thank you. I appreciate it. It's been cool. 4 years we've been doing this, and I haven't had a chance to celebrate a birthday with you here in studio, but we get to do that this week. All right, we got a busy show for the folks coming up. And like I mentioned, special guest this week will be in studio, our first in-studio guest of the year, Connor Zilich, of course. If you haven't heard his name, where have you been? You're probably living under a rock. One of the busiest drivers, up-and-coming drivers on the NASCAR regional schedule. Made his truck debut, his ARCA East debut this past week. He's a Trackhouse signee. He's got Xfinity coming up. He's won the Daytona Rolex 24, Sebring 12, all that stuff. We'll get into it. Connor Zilich joins us on the show. Speaking of which, we will talk about the ARCA East opener as well out at Five Flags Speedway. Plus, some big news for Bowman Gray over the week since we last talked to you. And much, much more. But Kyle, let's get into it. ARCA East kicked off their season this past weekend at Five Flags, the Pensacola 150. We talked about William Sawalich going for his title defense. Well, you've met your match, and his name is Gio Ruggiero. The 19-year-old picked up his first ARCA platform win in just his third start. What'd you make of it? Seemed like Gio figured it out there in the second half of the race.
It was one of those races where you don't turn it off until the end, because if you watch the first half of that event, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a Williams Wallet runaway. We've seen this before. And then came that halfway break, and adjustments were made. Good for Gio Ruggiero. Not so good for William. And Gio was able to take the lead and never really look back. A quick race, just two caution flags. One incident or one caution for cause. That seemed to be the phrase of the week. And Gio picking up the race win was pretty big for a driver that grew up here in New England, where I'm from.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, you even said too in Victory Lane, kind of the championship battle now. It's going to come down, I would expect, to those two. So expect he and William Sawalich to duke it out the rest of the ARCA East season. Shout out to Bubba Pollard, finished third. Of course, his ARCA platform debut. He's getting a tune-up here before he goes racing in the NASCAR Xfinity Series for the first time for Junior Motorsports this weekend. So we'll talk about that coming up. But shout out to Bubba for finishing in the top three. World of Series of Asphalt late model champ Hunter Wright finished in the top five as well. Connor Zilich, who we'll have on the show, spun by Zachary Tinkle as he tried to negotiate through some of the lap traffic, rallied to the fourth place finish. So good rebound for him. So Kyle, next time we see the ARCA East competitors, one of the coolest races out at Dover, one of the most physical races for these ARCA East competitors. It's probably one of my favorite East races of the year because it's NASCAR weekend, and at the same time, you get the ARCA Menard Series crossover with the East Series, and it's a heck of a battle out there at the 1 mile Monster Mile.
Yeah, it's a fun race to watch these kids take on the Monster Mile for the first time. Like you mentioned, a physical race, not necessarily because of all the contact on the racetrack, but there is a lot of that. But, you know, a lot of these young kids aren't used to the physicality it takes to race at Dover with the high banks and that roller coaster type feeling that you get lap after lap, corner after corner, where you dive onto the banking or into the banking and then come rocking in out of the banking onto the straightaways. It's tough on drivers. It's tough on equipment. It's been a fun race to watch over the years and just to see how these young drivers adapt to that racetrack over the course of a relatively short period of time.
That race coming up, the General Tire 150 at Dover in just about a month, April 26th. At Dover Motor Speedway. All right, speaking of Five Flags and the ARCA East Series debut, a part of that weekend was the ASA Stars National Tour. The late model Stars back at it once again, and it was just chock full of stars. But taking home the cake this week was Cole Butcher, Donnie Wilson Motorsports getting it done, and it was a battle of Donnie Wilson Motorsports teammates. Speaking of which, Gio Ruggiero was trying to get that extra $5,000 by taking home the win in the late model. Came up just short in that third spot, but Cole Butcher put on a great show over the weekend. And it's kind of, Kyle, the start of the road to the 57th Snowball Derby. So stamping your name as a winner at Five Flags, got to be a lot of confidence for Cole Butcher when we go back later this year.
Yeah, you always want to run well at Five Flags Speedway because of that. You know, one of the biggest races, if not the biggest super late model race of the year, held at that facility at the end of the year, the Snowball Derby, and to begin the season with a checkered flag at that racetrack could go a long way later in the season, because you're going to see many of the same competitors there in, what, 9 months' time? I don't want to count down yet, but it's still way too early to count down to the Snowball Derby. But it's coming, and it's good momentum for drivers like Cole Butcher and Steven Nassi, who had a good run this past weekend.
That's right. Nassi was able to get by Gio there at the end to finish second, Gio third. And, of course, Cole Butcher has already had success there, being on the podium so many times, including the Snowball Derby, but picks up the ASA Stars National Tour win. They're off for quite a bit of times. May 23rd, right down the road, or up the road here from us in Concord, North Carolina, Hickory Motor Speedway will be the next event for the Stars National Series. Final big race over the weekend, Kyle, South Boston had their big season opener, and it was a combo event, not only with the late models that we typically see on a weekly basis, but the largest, biggest, richest payday in modified for Smart Tour. The King, Pace-O-Matic, King of the Modifieds, $20,000 to win. They had the all pomp and circumstance, the crown, the cape, and it was a youngster getting it done over Big Money Matt. I mean, I pretty much had Matt Hirschman circled as my winner, but Luke Baldwin said, not so fast, 17-year-old coming through.
Son of Tommy Baldwin Jr., and able to race his way to the front of the field, avoid a lot of the big wrecks. There was one massive pileup early in the race on the back straightaway, collected about 16 cars, took out a lot of big names, a lot of hot tempers in the infield during that event. We saw Ryan Newman get heated there at one point after running well early. When all was said and done, though, great race, and Luke Baldwin picking up his first Tour type modified win. He has kind of dipped his toes in the modified racing the last couple of years. We saw him at the Stafford Motor Speedway several times last season and in an open modified and an SK modified. And now here he is beating some of the best down south at one of the great southern racetracks, South Boston Speedway. And I think what has turned into, and I wanted to wait until after the first race to see how it went, but yeah, I think it's going to be a marquee event on the Southern Modified racing scene. You know, they went into the race weekend talking like it was going to be a big event because of the purse money, and there was so much on the line. I wanted to see how things went. It was great. I kind of had a King's Royal feel there post-race. You know, we talk like about the World of Outlaws at Eldora with the King's Royal. Similar now on the asphalt scene for the Modifieds.
That's right. Got crowned King Luke the first, I guess, because this is the first event. And you're right. I think it'll be back. And who knows? Maybe that $20,000 turns into 50. Could we get to triple, you know, $100,000? Who knows? The opportunity is there for sure. And the publicity that event got. And you're right. There were, whenever you have a big money race, you're going to have hot tempers. And you mentioned that Ryan Newman, you know, star-studded field was in it and kind of got run over by Woody Pitcat, a driver you're familiar with up at Stafford Motor Speedway. But also Jake Crum got put in the wall by Matt Hirschman, and he was pretty upset at the way Matt drove. So the elbows were out for sure at South Boston Speedway, a great show. And the emotions, too, for Tommy Baldwin to see his son in victory lane. You know, obviously not even driving for dad. He had the 7NY out there with another driver. But to see Tommy and all that he's gone through to watch his son win one of the biggest, you know, paying races in a modified was really cool to see. And, of course, Luke driving for Sadler Stanley Motorsports got the call this year to drive that car. So really cool storylines. Congratulations to Luke. Of course, I think the first of many wins for that young driver. In the late model portion, Kyle, a familiar name, Peyton Sellers, trying to go for that record 7th track championship. Kind of got buried, finished 6th in the race for the late model stock opener at South Boston Motor Speedway. Trevor Ward was on the pole, but it was a guy named Craig Moore who got the win. And no, not our producer here at MRN. Although I'd like to think he could wheel a late model stock maybe still. I don't know. I'll have to check on that. But Craig Moore got the win. What'd you think of that? Maybe a little upset brewing there at South Boston.
Yeah, Craig's a driver that's been around a while. We've talked about him here on the show before, running toward the front of the field. He has several race wins, but to win on one of the biggest days in the racetrack's history, or at least recent history, good momentum now to start the season in the late model stocks. They had a good car count, great field. You mentioned some of the names in it a moment ago. Want to also give a quick shout out to Brandon Brown, the new track promoter of that racetrack, filling some pretty big shoes left by Chase and Carly Brashears, who have run that facility the last several seasons. Great opening day. Hopefully it's a good sign of things to come for the rest of their season there, South Boston.
100%. And, the road to the national championship for the NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series could roll through South Boston. We've seen it done
Usually
before. So
does.
off to a great start for sure. All right, our guest is waiting in the wings. We're going to bring him on in after this break. That young man is Connor Zilich. You're not going to want to miss our conversation with Connor. That's coming up next here on NASCAR Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit racingelectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
Larson brings his Chevy in. Four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Welcome back into NASCAR Coast to Coast here on Motor Racing Network. As promised, joining us in studio, one of the busiest race car drivers, I think, in 2024, young Connor Zilich here, fresh off his COTA debut in the Truck Series and, of course, ARCA East at Pensacola. Connor, I don't even know where to begin because there's so much I want to talk to you about, but let's start with this past weekend in the Truck Series. I think you obviously opened a lot of eyeballs winning the pole, but did you surprise yourself with how quickly you were able to adapt to the truck there right off the bat?
Yeah, most definitely, right? I went into the weekend and I, was hoping after practice I could make it to the second round of qualifying and, start up in the top 10. But to be 7/10 clear in qualifying, I definitely surprised myself, but in a good way. So, yeah, it was a really good feeling. I'd worked really hard to get myself prepared for that race and, be ready for it. So, to go out there and be that fast was definitely, made all the hard work worth it. But frustrated with how the race went, but still all in all, finishing fourth in my NASCAR debut is not a bad way to go out. So hopefully I can get some more opportunities later on this year. I've got two more truck races guaranteed, and I'm working on some more. But yeah, it was definitely a good weekend.
Now, we're a family show, but take me into your mind in turn one, lap one in COTA.
Yeah, so coming to the restart zone, obviously the restart zone has changed since the year prior.
Yep.
And I got a decent jump. Corey wasn't really there. But Taylor, he was there right there with me. So, he got to my inside going into turn one, which I shouldn't have let happen. I didn't know if we could kind of block before the start finish line. I knew we could pass after the restart zone, but, rookie mistake on my part. And, he got to my inside and I kind of lost my references. I was kind of all the way to the left and, he was on my inside, so I didn't have any references to the left. So I kind of just went off. When I saw him start to slow down, I was going to slow down too. And, when I got to the brake pedal, I was obviously too deep and, hit the bumps wrong and, splitter hit the ground and, I ended up locking up and just went straight. So, definitely a forced mistake and one that I shouldn't have made, but, at the end of the day, right, we're going to make mistakes, but that's one that I wish I didn't make.
Was there anything in the race, once you kind of got over that, we're starting to work your way back through the field, that surprised you? I know this is the first time you're doing pit stops. I mean, you did pit stop practice the week before, but doing it in a race, I mean, what was the biggest surprise for you over the course of the event?
I'd probably want to say how far off some of the cars are, or the trucks are, coming through the field, it was crazy how much I was kind of driving over these guys. And,
yeah.
You know, I felt like it was going to be kind of pretty competitive all the way through the field, right? A lot of the series I race in, you know, the IMSA stuff, right? There's no cars out there that are slouches, really, that you're going to kind of just be able to get by. But, you know, some of the underfunded teams that, you know, don't have the same opportunities as I do, it was honestly surprising to see that. And, you know, like I know like ARCA East and stuff like that, right? Guys show up on, you know, open trailers and, you know, they're there to have fun and enjoy themselves. And, you know, I wasn't really expecting that quite as much in the trucks, but, you know, I was surprised by that, but it's honestly really cool to have those guys out there, right? They come and, you know, they make the most with what they got and you got to respect that. So, you know, that was probably what shocked me the most was just how many cars were that far off or trucks were that far off.
There's been a lot of debate this week about Circuit of the Americas and where, you know, the quality of racing with the Cup Series and the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, all three platforms are out there. You've raced at road courses all over the country. COTA seems to have a little bit of everything, the high speed zones, the technical part, the S's. Where does that road course fit in the landscape of a heavy NASCAR stock car or truck, in your opinion?
I loved it, honestly. You know, COTA is one of my favorite tracks. I kind of wish, you know, I feel like it is a little bit ruined by what F1 needed, right? With the paving and the runoff and all that, right? It's not a generic road course where if you're past the exit of the road, you're going off racetrack and you're going to lose time. So, in a way I do think F1 kind of, I don't want to say ruined it, but for us, it did ruin it. And, you know, it makes it a little bit tougher, right? NASCAR's got to make judgment calls on track limits and stuff like that, which I don't really like. But, you know, at the end of the day, the track's so cool outside of that, it kind of shadows it. So, you know, I think COTA's a great track. And, you know, I wish people would see it the same way I do, right? I obviously am biased towards road courses and want more road courses. No. But, yeah, exactly. But, you know, I do think COTA is a good one that, you know, we should keep going to, and like tracks like Road America, like there's no reason to take that track off the schedule. That place is so awesome. And, you know, I wish we could go there and, you know, the trucks and, you know, the Xfinity series, and, you know, it's frustrating they took it off the schedule, but, you know, there is a lot of good road courses and COTA is for sure one of them.
Yeah, for sure. And I know there's a lot of fans that agree with you on that. Okay. So then the logistics of getting to Pensacola, how the heck did that go? How'd you arrange all that deal? Because that's you wouldn't think about it because how early the truck race was, but it's pretty quick turnaround for you to get then in the ARCA car.
Yeah. You know, it at first we were planning on running ARCA East, right? And this truck race came up and we're like, well, you know, that'd be a good one for me to debut at and, you know, get my first truck race in. And, you know, Spire had it open. So we kind of committed to that and then kind of threw away the ARCA East championship. And, you know, when both the schedules came out for the day, we're like, man, if we do this right, we could run both of them. So, you know, everybody around me kind of helped put it together. Both the teams worked together and, you know, Chevrolet helped put together, you know, getting me a plane to get from Austin to Pensacola in time. So, you know, it was a group effort and, you know, it made it worth it for sure. Right. We, obviously didn't have the best run at the ARCA race. We had some issues with, you know, fuel pickup and went two laps down because of it. I was running the bottom and, you know, with no fuel. So, you know, it was a bit frustrating, but, you know, it was still a good, you know, first race to get out there and get some points on the board. So I'm glad we could make both of those races and get two top fives. As good as that may sound, honestly, I think we could have been way better, but, you know, a bad day that is two fourth place finishes is probably a good thing.
For sure.
As a driver, how long does it take to adapt and adjust from a 3+ mile road course to a 1/2 mile oval and, you know, a couple of hours span of time?
Yeah, I had never been to Pensacola either. So that made it tougher. And, you know, one of the tougher tracks that we're going to go to is Pensacola. And, you know, it's got a lot of character and, you know, it's rough and, you know, beat up and, you know, it's definitely not easy. And I'd never been there before. Like Bubba Pollard, I was racing against, I don't even want to know how many laps he has around that place. So,
a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, those guys definitely had a lot more experience on me there, but I think my fastest lap of the race was on lap 6. And, you know, I was, I think a 10th off of where the fastest lap was. So, you know, I was pretty happy with that, right? My adaptability to kind of go out there with no laps at the place and no laps in an ARCA car on an oval. And, you know, be only a 10th off after 5 or 6 laps. So, You know, I was happy with that. And, you know, the speed we had in our car before our issues, you know, I felt like we definitely had a chance to compete with the top two cars, the 18 and the 20. But, you know, it's definitely not easy, right? Going from car to car, track to track, and, you know, prototypes to NASCARs to Mazdas, you name it, right? It's far from easy, but, you know, it makes for a lot of fun. And, you know, it's what I enjoy doing. So, you know, I want to be able to race in anything. And, you know, I'm going to continue to try and prove that I can race in anything.
I know you're a guy who I've heard this, you say this in the past too, that like looks at a Kyle Larson, like, I want to be like that guy who can drive just about anything. So take me back, because obviously I've known you a little bit longer with the IMSA stuff, but signing with Trackhouse and Justin Marks, I mean, that was huge for you earlier this year to open all these opportunities. How did those conversations even start? Was it just a cold call, or have you guys been in contact for a while and it finally was like, okay, let's put some together?
Yeah, so I've known Justin for a long time, and he owns Trackhouse Motorplex. I grew up go-karting at that track. So, you know, I'd kind of seen him around, been around him for a while, and, you know, he's kind of involved in the karting scene a little bit, and, you know, he follows it because he's got some interest in it. So, you know, I've known him through that for a while, and, you know, we never really got that close or anything, and it wasn't until last year we were teammates at VIR in a Trans Am race. It was my first TA race with, you know, 900 horsepower. And,
yeah.
You know, those cars are beasts. But, you know, we were teammates at that race, and I think I won the race by 46 seconds or something like that. And after that, conversation started to get serious. And, you know, he obviously is growing Trackhouse as a brand and a company. And, you know, what the things that, you know, him and Ty Norris are doing together to grow that company is incredible. And, you know, the race team's successful, right? A lot of teams are struggling in this day and age to, you know, get sponsors and, you know, fund their cars. And, you know, that's one of the teams, Trackhouse, that, you know, is not struggling and is thriving. So, you know, to be a small part of their puzzle is really cool. And, you know, it's really cool to be behind the scenes and kind of see what goes on with all that they're doing. And, you know, it's been really cool to, you know, be a part of it the last few months.
Yeah, for sure.
Not to brag, but I beat Kyle Larson at Trackhouse Motorplex in a go-kart.
How long ago was that, Kyle? Come on now.
Like 10 years.
Okay. You still did it.
No, but I still did it. Yeah. I want to talk about the Mazda MX-5 Cup for a moment. We talked about it off air before this interview started. It's like a super speedway road course event every time these cars hit the racetrack. I mean, 3 and 4 wide finishes, passing every lap, pack racing. How is that? What have you been able to take away from that style of racing that you can adapt to everything else that you're doing, including in the NASCAR world? Because you got to be so mentally focused and at the same time manhandle those cars around the racetrack.
Yeah, I, you know, they are very slow, right? They don't have a lot of horsepower and they're not the fastest cars that I drive. They're probably the slowest cars that I drive, but, things still happen so fast. And I feel like it's made me so much more aware as a driver, right? We don't have spotters. We got to, you know, be looking in our mirrors basically every corner, right? There's never really a corner if you're running at the front that you're alone. So you always got to know where the cars around you are. And, you know, I feel like that's helped me a lot to kind of be able to manage looking in your mirror and still driving and, you know, hitting your marks. You know, I feel like in some other series, you can rely on your spotters or, you know, other things, and you don't really have to worry about every corner having someone right behind you. So that's definitely helped me a lot as a driver, no matter where I go, just being aware and knowing what's around me. So it's so much fun to race those cars in the series, right? They draft so well, the racing's so good and competitive, right? The guys at the front are all really talented, and you know, it's definitely slept on as a series. You know, it's been probably the most fun series for me to race in, right? The cars, obviously, you know, if you're going out there and practicing and driving alone, they're not the most fun, right? They're slow and, you know, not very fast, but you still got to manhandle them, right? They are on edge at all times. And, you know, you're going through the corner, turning the wheel 25 times. And, you know, it's really cool to race those cars. And, you know, it's what brings me back, right? It's kind of grassroots racing. It's professional, but it's at the lower end of the professional scale. And, you know, I probably don't need to be racing it, but it's so much fun that I still want to. So, you know, it's really cool that I get the opportunity to go out there and race those on weekends where I'm maybe running the prototype, right? My prototype team is okay with it, which is cool. So, you know, double dipping on an LMP2 car and a Mazda MX-5 Cup car on a weekend is not normal, but it sure is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And those races for you folks tuning in, if you haven't watched one, please do. They're typically a part of IMSA weekends. You can stream them for free on IMSA TV. I mean, they're the coolest races, but you also, a little bit of heartbreak there at Sebring. I mean, back-to-back seconds by a combined like 0.05 of a second. That's got to hurt a little
bit. It was a bit frustrating. But honestly, like, you got to expect it in that series, right? When you win by that little of a margin, it feels really good. But when you lose, it feels really bad. So you kind of just got to accept it and deal with it. And, you know, thankfully, I'm not like racing for a championship or anything in that series. I don't think I'm going to be able to do the full season. But, you know, so it's a little less of a sting. But, you know, it's still so much fun wherever you finish, just because the races are so cool. And the prize money's crazy, right? If you win the championship, you get $250,000 cash. And, you know, to win a race is $6,000. It's like I almost get paid more to run MX5 Cup than I do to race ARCA or trucks or anything.
Sign me up.
It's crazy, but it's so much fun. And, you know, it's one series that I hope I can race for a long time.
And, you know, I think a lot of our viewers, too, are getting to know you on the NASCAR side. But, you know, what you've already done in sports cars, not just Mazda MX-5, but this year alone with the Rolex 24 win, the Sebring 12-hour win. Most drivers that compete in IMSA full-time, and, of course, WeatherTech, for those of you watching, is the Cup Series of IMSA sports car racing. Most drivers don't, in a lifetime, get those two marquee events. You do it back-to-back at 17 years of age. Have you pinched yourself yet that you've accomplished something like that at so young?
Yeah, most definitely. It's hard to believe, right? Winning Daytona was like a dream, and then to go to Sebring and win two races back to back. My only two WeatherTech starts is definitely you know, a pinch me kind of deal. So you know, it's been a dream to, you know, kind of race at the top level of sports cars, right? I grew up racing go-karts, and it's kind of where I always wanted to be. And you know, to get there so soon and be successful so soon is definitely really cool. And you know, gives me a lot of excitement for the future and, you know, what my future may hold, right? It's still very young. I'm still very young, and, you know, I have hopefully a long career ahead of me. And, you know, I've got a lot more races and a lot of different cars ahead of me, but, to have those, you know, marquee wins at such a young age is really cool.
What was your Daytona 24 schedule, and how difficult was that event? 17 years old, newcomer to the team coming in. Were you the overnight guy?
Yeah, I was definitely a sponge all weekend. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, the one probably providing the most insight on the car and this and that. But, you know, as long as I went out there and did my job and, you know, kept the car clean and, you know, put us in position to have a chance to win the race, that's all that mattered. So I let the veterans kind of set the car up and do the dirty work. And I just went out there and made it look good. So, you know, I'm starting to figure out more and more what it takes to, you know, get the car in the right window and, you know, get the car to a place where you can race it for 12 or 24 or however long the race may be. You know, it's not easy to set a car up for that long of a race, right? The track's always changing and you kind of got to prepare yourself for it. But, you know, every race I've been at, you know, Daytona and Sebring, I've learned more and more every session. And, you know, I feel like I'm starting to get a good understanding of what the car needs and what I need out of the car. So, it's cool racing with, you know, Ryan Dial and having Christian Rasmussen at Daytona. He's a complete wheel man, right? A really, really good driver. One of the best I've ever been around and, you know, been able to see. It's crazy. Like every lap into the bus stop, it's like he kills me by 2 or 3 tenths. And I'm like, man, I can't trust it to go that fast. You're just relying on the downforce. But I've learned a lot and, you know, it's been really cool to have those guys around me to kind of teach me. And Ryan, he's 41, he's been around it forever. And, you know, he kind of, I make him feel young again. So he appreciates it. And, you know, he helps me a lot and, you know, helps make me a better driver.
A lot of success already this year, as we talked about, a lot of new things happening. The next new thing will be your Xfinity debut with Junior Motorsports. Obviously, I mean, it's like Kyle and I were talking, it's like, what's next? You can announce your Cup Series ride already? I mean, that's the only thing left to do at this point. But how excited are you for that and to do it at Watkins Glen? I know the ARCA race, you were so close last year, but to go back and do it in an Xfinity car, what's that going to be like for you?
Yeah, I'm really excited, right? Junior Motorsports, obviously a very much successful team. And, you know, they've had a lot of success in the past with, you know, Sam Mayer winning that race last year at Watkins Glen. And, You know, even the other three tracks I go to, right? Homestead, Noah Gregson, he's, you know, won there multiple times, yeah. or won there once, but he's dominated the race there multiple times.
He's so, very good there.
You know, there's no shortage of fast cars that I'm going to be driving at the end of this year when I get some more starts in the NASCAR stuff. So, yeah, it's really exciting. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of figure that stuff out. And, you know, the big ovals are going to be new to me, but, you know, I've definitely faced some challenges this year. So what's one more going to hurt?
Yeah, why not?
Exactly.
Final question for you, for me anyway, is there a plan beyond this year? Is there a 2-year or a 3-year plan that at least you can talk about? I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that you can't, but, you know, what's, I guess, the hope and dreams here for you over the next couple seasons?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. And one that I don't know if I have a direct answer for, but, you know, I've kind of had the goal of becoming the youngest Cup Series champion. And, you know, that's, I think, 23 or 24 right now. So definitely feasible if I can, you know, get up to speed quickly on the oval tracks and, you know, figure that stuff out quickly. You know, obviously I've got a multi-year deal with Trackhouse, which, you know, will hopefully, you know, one day down the road, put me in a Cup car and, you know, have the opportunity to race with them. But, you know, that's still a long way down the road and I've got a lot of work to do right now. So I'm trying not to get too far into the future and, kind of just focus on where I'm at right now and, you know, focus on what I'm doing this year. And, you know, that's what's most important for me, right? You're not going to get to the future if you don't focus on the present. So, you know, it's going to be a lot this year and I've already got enough stuff on my plate. So, you know, I've just got to continue to do what I'm doing and, you know, focus on being successful where I am. And, you know, if I do that, then, you know, I know things are going to fall into place for me in the future.
Yeah. I don't know how you compartmentalize all that you have going on and at such a young age too, to do it. My final question for you is just, how do you handle all that? I mean, obviously at this point now there's eyeballs, there's maybe some pressure on you to perform because there's a lot of hype. So how do you compartmentalize that and realize too that I'm going through all this for the first time in a lot of places. So like, give me a break, but how do you handle all that?
Yeah, it's tough, right? When people have expectations for you and you don't meet them, it's frustrating as a driver, right? You win a lot of races and, you know, guys start to think you're going to win every race and that's just not possible. So, you know, I try not to listen to even the good things people may say about me, right? I don't want to get my head blown up and, you know, become someone that is cocky or, you know, like anything like that. And also don't listen to the people that, you know, maybe dislike you, right? You got to stay pretty neutral and, you know, things are not always going to go right. So, you can't expect them to. So it's definitely a happy medium that you have to find where, you have confidence, but you know, you don't get down on yourself when things go wrong. And you also don't get too high when things are going really well. You know, I feel like that's one way that you can really hurt yourself in racing is, you know, after you win two or three big races, like I have this year is, you know, you kind of just stop working and you think, oh man, I can do this. I don't need to continue to work hard. So, it's tough, right? There's a lot that goes into it that people don't see, but, you know, as a race car driver, you just got to keep your head down and, you know, continue to work and get better every week.
Well, he's busier than albeit, so we're going to – but by the way, you got an off weekend this weekend, so what the heck are you going to do? This is a rarity for you.
Oh, I'm still going to be at the racetrack. I'm going to Richmond. I'm going to Richmond, just not as a driver this weekend, but I'll still be at the racetrack, believe it or not.
See, team no sleep right over here. Connor, thanks for coming in, man. All the best of luck to you the rest of the season. It's been so much fun to watch your career just explode right before our very eyes, so keep it up.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Connor Zilich joining us here on Coast to Coast here on the Motor Racing Network. Coming up next, we'll look at the calendar and some news and notes from the week in NASCAR regional racing. That's all next here on Coast to Coast on MRN.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit racingelectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
Welcome back to NASCAR Coast to Coast here on MRN. Kyle Van, what a star in the making. Already pretty much made, actually, with the amount of races he's already won in his young career. But Connor Zilich is going to be a guy that everybody has taken notice of. And, you know, kudos to Justin Marks and Trackhouse Racing for being the ones to grab him, because I think that's going to pay huge dividends coming up in the next couple of years.
He overcame so much just on Saturday at COTA, between the first corner incident, between a track limits penalty, And to find himself still back in the top five when all was said and done, says a lot, you know. And I've been watching him all year in the Mazda MX-5 Cup. Obviously, he's had great success in IMSA, which we talked about. So, you know, he's got the road racing stuff figured out. Look forward to see, you know, he's got the oval stuff figured out as well. We've seen him on a lot of short ovals here recently. And when he's of age, it's going to be fun to see how he adapts to the big high-speed ovals.
Yep, and that time is coming for sure, especially when he hits age 18. So congratulations, Connor, all your success. Appreciate him coming in to Coast to Coast here this week. Taking a look at a couple races, Kyle, before we get some news and notes of the week coming up this weekend. We talked about ARCA East. We talked about ARCA Menards Series being off till Talladega. But the ARCA West guys are back in action this weekend, just west of Los Angeles at Irwindale Speedway. It's the West Coast Stock Car Hall of Fame 150 presented by NAPA. Late start for those of us on the East Coast, 10:05 Eastern time. You can see that on Flow Racing. Sean Hingorani, a little bit maybe disappointed with his season opener at Phoenix. Of course, new team this year, the defending champions with Hattori. What do you think? Can he get a rebound here at Irwindale, or will it be somebody like Trevor Huddleston, who won this race back in July last year, to maybe pull off another upset?
Yeah, I think he'll be all right. Phoenix is such a tough race to gauge, being that it was an ARCA Menards combination event with the West Series. And it was also shortened by about 35 laps due to the lightning storm and then the rain that rolled in. So they really didn't get the full distance. But I expect Sean to do well on Saturday night. I'm also going to keep an eye on Trevor Huddleston, who's been so strong on the West Coast the last several seasons. And Isabella Robusto, I mean, she seemed very confident leaving the Phoenix Raceway, running toward the front of the field during the season opener. And she felt like she, you know, has what it takes to do well at the Irwindale Speedway, a smaller 5/8 mile track and a similar size that she has experience on here on the East Coast. So that's just a couple of drivers, an impressive entry list that came out for their second race of the season. Like you mentioned, Saturday night, past many of our bedtimes, but I'm going to have to stay up and watch. It's going to be a good show.
You just have an extra cup of coffee or
that's right,
energy drink or something. You'll be fine, K-Rick. Once won't hurt you enough, but certainly it's going to be a great race. Irwindale puts on a great show, and you mentioned a couple of those drivers, but they have to go against the Tyler Reif. You know, we've seen him in victory lane last year out at Phoenix. You have Jake Finch running for Venturini, and anytime a Venturini car takes the racetrack in an ARCA platform event, you know it's going to be up toward the front. Jack Wood back in the saddle for Rev Racing. Don't forget, your 2014 ARCA Menards Series champion, Mason Mitchell, is coming out of retirement. He's running a couple races this year, he announced this week, and one of those is going to be this weekend at Irwindale. So the tall task for your defending champion, Sean Hingorani, but of course it's going to be a great race, again, on Flow Racing Saturday night. The other big race coming up this week will be a part of NASCAR weekend when they go to Virginia and Richmond Raceway. It's the Virginia Is for Racing Lovers 150. The Ground Pounders are back. The NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour, after several weeks off since the World Series of Asphalt in their season opener at New Smyrna at Richmond. It is this week on Friday night, 14th visit for the tour to Richmond. Kyle, it's always a special event because you've got NASCAR eyeballs on these drivers in the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour, but it always is a great race, especially when you have a stacked field that we expect this week.
Like Ron Silk, who won the season opener back about a little over a month ago now at New Smyrna Speedway down in Florida. You have Ryan Newman and Bobby Labonte in the field, joined by Justin Bonsignor, Doug Kobe back driving for Tommy Baldwin. New faces like Marcello Ruffrano, who's going to be making his NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour debut after having a lot of success in SK Modifieds up here in New England. So it'll be interesting to see how he does against a lot of drivers that he's run against before. Eric Goodale, Jake Johnson, I mean, the list goes on and on. Carson Lofton, who dominated the first two Smart Modified races of the season, he'll be in the field. Going to be a great way to start the short track weekend at Richmond Raceway on Friday night.
Austin Beers dominated the race last year to pick up his first Wheel and Modified Tour win. He's back in the field, and many think he's a sleeper pick for the championship to challenge Ron Silk and Justin Bonsignor. Ron Silk, don't forget, this was his worst race last year, 7th. And that's your worst race? Then, man, you know, obviously we know how good Ron Silk is. I know he's going to try to rally that back and maybe pick up yet a back-to-back season opener win when we go to Richmond. It's going to be a good one, and you're going to hear it all live right here on the Motor Racing Network, 6:30 p.m. on Friday. The crew will be up there at Richmond Raceway to give you all the action from the Ground Pounders. It's going to be fantastic. Of course, all the great folks there, all the great entries already. Kyle mentioned a few of them. Don't forget, there's also Carson Lofton, the two-time Smart Tour winner already this year, going to take on the big racetrack at Richmond. So going to be a great race out there again on MRN, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Some news and notes from the week. Little father-son action for you if you're into that kind of thing on the racetrack. Ward Burton is making his return. The Daytona 500 champion of 2002, back in the car for the first time since 2012 in any sort of race, is going to take on the Orange Coast 200 at Orange County in a late model event with Jeb also racing in it. They were testing this week. Kyle, I mean, you've been covering the sport for so many years. To see Ward back in a race car, just in any form, it's got to be pretty cool to see some of these guys come out of retirement. And he's got the itch. He tested one last year and said, I want to race. And here he is going to go race against his son coming up this weekend.
But when you look at him, you never know it. The emotion there is tough to read sometimes with Ward. But, yeah, it's been a long time. And back when he was running in the NASCAR Busch Series full-time in the early 1990s, Orange County Speedway was a regular stop on that tour. So not sure how much he has raced there since the probably 93, 94, 95, when they left a lot of those short track bull rings. Obviously, the first time in more than a decade he's been back behind the wheel of a race car, but to be able to race your son at a track in which you grew up in should be fun this weekend to watch those two go at it there at Orange County Speedway.
Yep, and that race is on Friday. Of course, also big news this week talking about one of NASCAR's legendary and the first NASCAR weekly track on its schedule, built in 1937. Bowman Gray is now going to be under management of NASCAR. That news made waves just after Coast to Coast aired last week. But let's talk about it quickly, Kyle. It's hosted 29 NASCAR National Series Grand National races over its years. Now under the NASCAR banner, getting managed by NASCAR. Of course, Austin Shuford was named the new GM of racing operations in that announcement. What do you think when NASCAR takes over Bowman Gray? Obviously, we know the history, but can you foresee some maybe National Series returning to Bowman Gray with this announcement?
I like that the lease is for like, what, 25 years, 20, yeah. 50, I think it runs through. So that kind of secures, unless something really comes off the rails, secures racing there for at least another 2.5 decades. Yeah, I think there are plans in the future for NASCAR's National Series to run at that racetrack. I don't know if it's going to be an all-star race. I don't think it'll be the Clash, because unless they decide the Clash doesn't have to be in February, you never know down the road. I mean, we've seen some weird things in the last 5 years that we thought 10 years ago we would never see. When it comes to the weekly stuff, I hope they don't change a thing. You know, don't polish it. Don't mess with the current product, because, yeah, you know, people have the debate of, okay, it's not real racing, it's just, you know, wrecking on wheels. But that's what gets that crowd there every week. And it's the only racetrack in the country where I think that type of racing is acceptable. And that's what drives up the tickets. And as soon as you polish it up, people say, you know, now it's not what we know that racetrack for. And I think in hearing Ben Kennedy this week, they're not going to touch a thing, if anything.
Yeah, yeah, and smart for saying that, too. And you're right. You know, Bowman Gray has had an identity now for so many years, and, yep, and it's what makes it unique. You know, whether you're a fan of it or not, it's a different experience. But at the end of the day, it still is one of the most legendary short tracks we have all across the country. So many names have been a part of those races over the years. So many champions in the National Series have been a part of races there. I mean, heck, that's where Bobby Labonte found the will to drive again, and that's a reason why he's in a modified today. It's because he went out to Bowman Gray and watched a race in the stands, bought a $20 ticket, and said, I need to get back behind the wheel. So it's a magical place for sure, and I think it'll be great that NASCAR is going to be under the watchful eye for sure, because, I mean, if anything, it's going to promote bigger events out there at Bowman Gray Stadium. So huge news. Congratulations to all of those involved. Of course, that track opens April 20th. So we're just about 3 weeks away from the season opener out there. And of course, we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. Just a few other races on the calendar this week. Smart Modified Tour back in action at Tri-County Speedway this weekend. And of course, NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts weekly series events at Florence and Hickory. Okay, K-Rick, time for our driver of the week. You've had a little bit of time to think about it. Plenty of names come to my mind, but who took the cake this week?
I like Gio Ruggiero from up here at Seekonk Speedway, NASCAR, his NASCAR home track for many years, from Bandoleros up to late models. And recently has hit the national scene. We talked a lot about him a couple of weeks ago after the race at the Phoenix Raceway in Arizona. We knew it wouldn't be long before he reached victory lane in the ARCA platform. And sure enough, very next race, he's out front and celebrating in victory lane this past weekend in the ARCA Menardi series. So my nod is to Gio Ruggiero. I think we're going to be hearing and seeing him a lot here in years to come.
Absolutely. A name that we will certainly keep talking about, and I'm sure we'll have on the show here a time or two coming up in 2024. Well, don't forget, Kyle, we also had a little time with our own Mike Bagley on NASCAR Live. You can check that out at MRN.com or wherever you get your podcasts, breaking all things down short track racing, but also talking about the national series. And if, you know, you play fantasy NASCAR, not saying we're going to be the best people to listen to. I think we were pretty good, but we break down what's kind of been going on the first month and a half or two of the season. And it was a pleasure getting to share the forum with you, our fast forum. And I don't know, I think we may persuade some people to change their lineups coming to Richmond. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah, we were able to talk not just modifieds and ARCA, but also the Craftsman Truck Series. It's been a very competitive year for that tour. Austin Hill and the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the drivers that have been running well or not. And the Cup Series as well. You know, I think the big topic on the national level is, where have the Fords been? Winless across all three of NASCAR's national series after taking all the championships a year ago. So a lot of stories, and be sure to check out NASCAR Live this week. And, you know, we'll try to bring you up to speed because there's, like you mentioned, a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. And I know on the Cup side, we're just six races in and there's so many storylines already. So again, NASCAR Live this week, and catch that at MRN.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast from. Hey, Rick, final thoughts before we let the folks go here this week.
It's warming up here in New England. The snow, I think, is done for the season. We're about 10 days, less than that, away now from opening up the gates at the Thompson Speedway Motorsports Park, where the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour will be in just over a week's time for the Icebreaker weekend. So fingers crossed for good weather, unlike last year, and looking forward to a great season ahead of short track racing.
Absolutely. Counting down till things get warmed up in New England. And we're ready rock and rolling down here in North Carolina, that's for sure. Yep. Don't forget, MRN is back on the air this weekend. We talked about the Ground Pounders. The NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour will kick off MRN's coverage of Richmond Raceway weekend. That's a tongue twister. On Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Then, of course, on Saturday, we'll have NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying at 10:30 a.m. So have a little brunch in NASCAR with us. NASCAR Xfinity Series, the Toyota Care 250 at 1 o'clock Eastern airtime on Saturday. Of course, it all leads into Sunday, NASCAR Cup Series, Toyota Owners 400, 6 p.m. A little primetime action. NASCAR Live Race Day gets us going. And again, that's all right here on the Motor Racing Network. So plenty of racing coming up, whether you like short track racing or, of course, NASCAR National Series. For Kyle Rickey, for Pat Jaggers, our producer, my name is Chris Wilner. Thank you so much, Connor Zilich, for joining us as well. This has been another episode of NASCAR Coast to Coast on MRN. We'll see you next week.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.